O Heavenly Beloved Father, please receive these gifts from your generous bounty to us, to return to you to do your will. And we bless them in your name. Amen.
Don't worry, I'm not going to sing. But Margaret is going to be singing the solo Eagle's Wings, and it's based on Psalm 91. So I'm going to read that psalm, and then you'll hear Margaret sing this psalm. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. Margaret.
If it's okay with you, I'm going to switch things up a bit and pray for the people now, and then we'll do the next time. So let's prepare our hearts for prayer. Dear Heavenly Beloved Father, help us to feel your presence. Help us to feel your leading in our busy lives. Help us to take the time to actually sit and listen. Small moments like talking to John this morning of how you were putting 91st Psalm upon my heart. I had no idea it was going to be sung today. Help me to understand if that's coincidence or your leading, and I should know better. I pray for all those that aren't here, and Annette and Keith and all those in the Uxbridge Baptist Church and our Chinese brothers and sisters and others that couldn't make it today. We'll have that protection of your psalm, that they'll feel your leading. And I pray for those that are here, for those that have returned from vacation and those that will be coming next week. I pray that you can help us to feel your love and your guidance and to appreciate all that's around us. And I pray, O Lord, your holy word upon us, that you can search our hearts. And I ask right now, in a moment of silence, to search the hearts of all the people here, to listen to their petitions before you in your holy name. Again, I ask your Holy Spirit to search our hearts and to petition before us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have the blessed assurance that as much as we know and will swear that Jesus rose from the dead, that our prayers will be answered. Bless and watch over us, O Lord, your strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The New Testament lesson is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 20 to 36. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. And Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls in the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled. And what can I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said it thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. The crowd spoke up, "We have heard from the law that the Messiah will remain forever. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus told them, "You're going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going. Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light." And when he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. Amen. This is the word of the Lord for our instruction and our inspiration. Let us pray. May the words of my lips and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Kids love flashlights. When my son Andrew and I used to attend a family camp weekend in Quebec almost 20 years ago, Andrew always made sure that he took his flashlight with him and lots of batteries. It was several hundred feet from the lodge to the cabin that we slept in. And after the campfire and the late night snack in the lodge, Andrew used to leave first to go to bed as I continued talking to the parents in the lodge. And with his flashlight, he could see several steps ahead on the path leading down to the cabin. And he always reached his destination without once wandering off in the darkness. And when I arrived more than a few minutes later, he would still be using his flashlight, reading in bed. As Christians, we discover by the light of God's word the guidance that we need for every situation in life. Even as a flashlight illumines each new step on a dark path at night, so the lamp of Scripture provides us with a path, light on our path throughout our life. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path," says the psalmist. If we follow God's leading, there's always enough light for each step of the way. Paths, they're everywhere, crisscrossing the landscape, taking us wherever we want to go. But now we call them roads and streets and highways and expressways and railway lines and flight paths. And now there's yet another type of path that's taking us to never-before-traveled areas, and it's called the information highway, a relatively new avenue of discovery and knowledge. Through computer hookups and smartphones and the World Wide Web, we can access vast libraries of new information. Asphalt and concrete roads lead us to physical destinations. Computer highways take us to places of the mind, information destinations that can educate and enlighten and entertain us. All those networks, all those pathways, all those possibilities, all those confusing temptations that can lead us astray. Yet no road, no highway, no computer network can compare with the only true path, the one that's lit for us by the light of the world, Jesus Christ. Out of the many paths we take in life, God's way, through walking with Jesus, is the only one that leads to eternal life. In the passage from John 12, Jesus said to his disciples, "You're going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they're going. Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light." Jesus himself was certainly heading down a dark path and acknowledges it in this passage from John 12. But he states it in a peculiar way. "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Jesus knows he's heading into a dark road of suffering and death on the cross, yet he says that he will be glorified. Why? Because Jesus has a longer view, a God-inspired perspective. Even as a seed must die in order to produce a life-giving plant, so he must die in order to bring to the world the seeds of spiritual enlightenment. And this applies to us too. Don't be afraid to give up the material things of the world, he says. Don't be afraid of dying to self, because a better, eternal world awaits you. "And whoever serves me must follow me," he said, "and my Father will honor the one who serves me." And not only honor us, but protects us, says Psalm 91. "He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart." As Margaret sang earlier, "He will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand." "Because he loves me," says the Lord in verse 14 of Psalm 91, "because he loves me, I will rescue him, I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name." Jesus knew that his followers would need protection because very dark days were coming not only for him, but for them as well. He knew that they would need a larger perspective in the face of the looming disaster of his trial and death. After Jesus says, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." "No, it was for this reason that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." After he says this, comes the voice from heaven confirming this perspective. "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." Jesus comments that the voice that came from heaven was for the benefit of the crowd, not for his benefit. Because when he is lifted up, that is, when he is crucified, he will draw all people to himself. Now, the crowd, as always, misinterprets the role of the Messiah, thinking that he will be a political savior reigning over Israel forever, whereas Jesus' role is that of the suffering Messiah who will redeem the whole world. The main purpose of John in this passage is to encourage the readers to have a strong faith in Jesus, who will also be a risen Messiah, and to live in fellowship with Jesus, whose life provided the light that guided all who would follow after him. Light is a major theme throughout the scriptures. In Genesis 1:3, light is the beginning of God's creation. In Psalm 104:2, it is God's garment-like covering, light is. The light of God is frequently used as a symbol for salvation that God gives to people, as in Psalm 21:7, the Lord is my light and my salvation, and stands in parallel with the words, the Lord is the stronghold of my life. And similarly, when the servant of the Lord is given as a light to the nations in Isaiah 49, the purpose is that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. In the New Testament, Jesus calls himself the light of the world. And there are many instances where we are encouraged to let the light of Christ shine through us. And it's in a moral sense that John, in his first letter, 1 John, affirms what is printed on the front of our bulletin this morning, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is the source and essence of holiness and of righteousness, of goodness and of truth, the light of life, and knowing God leads to our salvation. God is revealed in this way in the New Testament through the character of Jesus, whose life reflected all that is good in the world. And so those who know God through his Son Jesus will in their lives reflect back the character of Jesus. They will walk as children of light. I chose the phrase walking in the light as this sermon title because it symbolizes the course that we're all encouraged to take as Christians in the midst of an often dark and confusing world. As a Christian community, as Christ's church, we are to follow the illumined path given to us by God's Spirit and not to be influenced by the dark nature of the society around us, while nevertheless continuing to minister to that society. As followers of Jesus, we do live in a dimly lit world where sin looks attractive and right living looks boring. Yet we are people of the light. We are to be on our guard that we don't become accustomed to the darkness of our society that we think is normal. Instead, we are to keep our eyes on what God declares as bright and right. Fellowship with the God of light is made possible through a strong prayer relationship with Christ, who does reveal to us the plan of God, the path of God that leads us into the future. The children of light are those whose behavior reflects the character of God. They share in fellowship with God, with one another as well. Those who walk in the darkness, however, do not know where they're going and cannot coordinate their paths. They stumble against one another and fall into confusion. But those who walk in the light can see clearly which direction to take and are able to organize a plan of action, cooperate with one another in making decisions that lead us down the right path as individuals, as a congregation. In the meantime, as individuals following the light of Christ, we are to continue to be good reflections of Christ as his light continues to shine amongst us. There was a young boy about 9 years old who went with his parents to Europe one summer, and part of their tour was visiting some of the old great cathedrals. And he noticed particularly the massive stained glass windows, which reflected often portraits of the disciples of Christ and of other saints throughout the ages. And when he returned home and again attended his Sunday school class, the teacher asked him what it was about the great churches in Europe that he liked the most. And he says it was the pictures of the saints in the stained glass windows. And when the teacher asked him for a definition of a saint, he thought for a moment, and then he said, "A saint is a person the light shines through." And what was it Jesus said? "You are like light for the whole world. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a bowl. Instead, he puts it on a lampstand where it gives light for everyone in the house. In the same way, your light must shine before people so that they will see the good things that you do and praise your Father who is in heaven." And the words of the song at the very beginning of our service, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things on earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." Let's pray to him. Lord God, we are so grateful that we have your word, which is a light to our path, and which enables us to see clearly where you would have us go, and the ways in which you would have us treat one another through your love. We thank you for the wonderful gift of your grace given to us through Jesus, your Son. And we thank you for the example that he set in shining a light on the path of those of his day, and for the ways in which he continues to shine that light on us through your word and through our fellowship together within your church. We pray, O God, that you would help us in this Lenten season to remember why we are here, because of the action of Jesus on the cross for us. We pray that you would enable us to glory in that cross as you did, knowing that the larger perspective is that you did not remain in the tomb. We thank you that we are able to celebrate Easter this time of year, and the ways in which you continue to raise us up and to give us that lightness of spirit that enables us to continue to serve you well in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.